This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, energy touches every part of our lives, keeps our homes warm or at the minute cool, drives industry, enables us to cook our food, pump our water, keep our hospitals working, it gets us to work, keeps the internet going and our all-important phones working. I mean, I won't go on, as I've only got 15 minutes, but it's impossible to imagine 21st century life without it. And how we make and deliver energy, or enough energy, while still meeting our climate change obligations is a contentious issue for our current government. Now, many of us have got quite strong opinions about energy, probably on the cost of it, about how it should be generated, particularly if we live near a proposed solar or wind farm. And of course, we all want to see it keeping coming. But how informed are those opinions, really? How much do we really know and understand about energy? Well, I think it's probably safe to say that most of us could do with knowing just a bit more. And today's school kids, for whom the energy transition is going to be extra important and a huge employment opportunity, could do with a big boost to their energy literacy. Step In Megawatt. It's a game and accompanying resources which has been developed by Hertfordshire-raised Miguel Trenka Lopez, and its aim is to provide learning about energy in a fun way for schools and for businesses. I spoke to Miguel and I started by asking him where the idea for Megawatt had come from.
So my background is an engineer in the energy industry. I've always been passionate and interested in energy, but from talking to a lot of people, I realized that it's quite a difficult topic sometimes to understand. It's quite complicated. And when you look at it as a system, it's quite difficult to communicate. So I kind of started thinking about how do we communicate about this in a more exciting, engaging way? And the idea for a card game came about all the way back in 2019, which was when we began developing this game as a group of graduates.
Well, that sounds fantastic. And I suppose the other thing about being an energy engineer, it's a really important job as well, isn't it?
Totally. I mean, if you're passionate about climate change and the environment, the way we use energy is one of the most important things that we can do to improve our emissions. So it's actually 75% of all our global emissions come from how we produce energy. And right now, most of that energy comes from fossil fuels. So here we're talking about electricity, transport, heating, agriculture, industry, you know, everything uses energy. But we need to kind of switch away from fossil fuels to cleaner sources of energy to do that. And that's why we're seeing a lot of electrification. So the movement of things like cars towards electric vehicles or gas boilers to heat pumps, because we know how to make electricity cleanly. So if we transfer everything to electricity, then hopefully we can kind of really transition away from fossil fuels.
Okay. And why do you think it's important that we understand more about our energy rather than just learning that we need to use less of it?
Totally. So it's very difficult to understand whether our policymakers and government are making the right decisions in this space if we don't understand where it comes from and how it's made in the first place. So it's really important that people, young people, learn about this. But also, we can't make that shift without people working in the industry. And there's a huge skills gap in the energy sector. It's particularly around young people. So in fact, in the UK alone, the total amount of people employed in energy is going to double by 2030. So it's a huge amount of new jobs. And of that, almost half of them are going to be school leaver ages, so apprentices and jobs you need school level qualifications for. So by raising energy literacy, particularly in schools, we can kind of get students interested and engaged in these careers. And they're going to be the ones that actually make it happen. You know, we need people on the ground making it happen.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a great career if there's going to be openings in the future. But I suppose also, if you are somebody who is concerned about the environment, then this is a great way to make a difference as well, isn't it?
Totally. Yeah, there's quite high climate anxiety in schools. A lot of young people are worried about the future, and often they're presented with the issues and the problems. But what I'm trying to present them is with the solutions. You know, if you really care about this, this is a space that you can and should work in to make a difference.
Right. Okay. So let's hear about the way in which you are communicating all of this to school children. You've developed, as part of the Megawatt program, you developed a game. Well, tell us a little bit about this game and the kind of age of children that it's aimed at.
Yeah, of course. So Megawatt is a competitive card game using just cards. So it's all based on real world data, and players are challenged to build an electricity grid. So they're using lots of different forms of energy. Let's talk about energy, like wind, solar, nuclear, fossil fuels, hydro. And they're using these different forms of energy to build electricity. Now, as the game goes on, event cards kind of put them to the test. So it might be a heat wave, a flood, a carbon tax. There's lots of different things that happen in the real world that affect how we produce energy. So we're learning about those advantages and disadvantages through the game. And as the game goes on, you can have different strategies. So you can invest in futuristic technologies like different forms of energy storage or advanced nuclear or offshore wind or carbon capture. There's lots of different technologies that we can use to clean up our grid. And finally, the way to make it kind of fun and competitive for kids is you have these action cards. So I can steal a card from somebody, I can block you from playing, I can get more money. So it kind of makes it kind of competitive and fun in that aspect. It takes around about 30 minutes to play, and it's suitable for students all the way from upper primary all the way to sixth form, because we can adapt the rules and the cards used to make it easier or harder to play.
Okay. And you've tested your game at your old school, John Henry Newman School in Stevenage. What did they think about it? What was your feedback from the students there?
Yeah, that's right. So they're very kind enough to let me kind of go back and test the iterations of the game. And we actually tested some very early versions of the game there. And we learned so much from the students about what they enjoyed, what they didn't. And we've gone back into the school multiple times, and we've used that information to continue to develop the game, both for educational kind of purposes and make it more useful for that, but also making sure it's fun and engaging for the students. So that was a number of years ago now, and based on that learning, we've kind of finalized a version of the game which we're really confident does all of those things.
Okay. So it's not just the game that you've got for schools, you've also got resources to help teachers teach about energy better. Can you just tell us a bit about those?
Yeah, definitely. So we started off with a game, but we quickly learned that for it to be useful to a school, there needs to be clear learning outcomes, clear like links to the curriculum. And so we've been working alongside an organization called Association for Science Education and with other teachers to develop a series of resources that actually support the curriculum, develop key skills, and they're designed to be embedded into day-to-day learning. So for schools, what we do is we go in and deliver a full day of workshops, and we then train and supply the teachers with the games, posters, and resources, which include lesson plans, slides, videos, worksheets, everything that a teacher needs to then integrate Megawatt into their day-to-day curriculum.
Okay. And again, what age of children is this aimed at, the resources you have for teachers? And is this just for like physics or that maths or whatever, or is this sort of across the curriculum?
Yeah, so it's aimed at upper primary, so from year 5 and year 6 all the way to key stage 4, so up to like year 11, and it's even used at sixth form as well. So energy tends to be in the science curriculum, but it is fairly cross-curricular, and one of those key other curriculums is actually in geography. So energy and climate change is not just about science, there's a lot about geography. And we've also learned, you know, if we want to attract a more diverse group of young people to the sector, particularly young women, we can't only show them career pathways through science. So, you know, one student might be in a physics class and think this is not for them, but then come alive in a geography setting. So it's really important to show how cross-curricular energy is and relevant to the things that they care about.
Okay. So how about funding for what you do in schools? Where does that come from?
Yeah, so this is the most exciting part, which is that we offer all of our workshops and resources to schools for free. So we know that school budgets are tight, and we know teachers' time is very valuable. So what we do is we work with energy companies and grant funders to sponsor our activities. So we're set up as a non-profit, so we're a community interest company. So that means we have access to kind of some grants that allow us to work with schools on a free basis, or we work with businesses who have an interest in getting Megawatt into schools. So typically these are energy companies, could be, you know, solar, wind, nuclear. We're working with a wide range of different energy companies to raise energy literacy. There's a number of reasons why they might want to do that. First and foremost is that, you know, they know there's a skill shortage and they know they need to get more people into the sector. But secondly, a lot of these companies now have quite a lot of requirements on them for community engagement and social value. So if they're building a solar farm in your community, there are ways that they're trying to support the construction phase and the operational phase to get the community to kind of buy in to having something like this in their area. And so we're working with these companies to support them in doing so by supplying schools with these resources for free.
Now, you're not just working with schools, you also offer training for businesses as well. Can you tell us what you're offering them?
That's right. So, I mean, raising energy literacy is not just something that needs to happen in the classroom. It needs to happen across the board. So we have activities that are designed for adult learning, and it's really looking at ethical debates and gamification of presenting all of this information and getting participants to kind of solve these problems themselves. So, for example, we actually did a workshop at a Liberal Democrat spring conference. So we delivered some workshops with their policymakers. They looked at their current policy, which was 80% renewables by 2030. We built the UK grid using megawatt cards, and then given a certain budget and conditions, they had to kind of come up with how will they meet their own policy. And it was really interesting to see the different strategies at the table. And it's a really great way to start that discussion at those high levels of what does it take and what do we need to do to actually transition. So we offer that to businesses as well as energy literacy workshops, and to kind of get senior and middle management really up to speed on these problems.
So from what you're saying, it sounds like something that's useful to pretty much anybody, even just listening to the news, understanding the decision that the government has to make around energy, which matters to all of us. It helps our understanding of that, might affect the way that we vote. So it sounds like, well, from what you're saying, that pretty much any company should be interested in ensuring that its employees are energy literate.
Yeah, absolutely. It's important to everybody. I mean, it's, you know, if you ask, I speak to a lot of people about this, and many people do not know the current energy mix of the UK. So if you don't know how we're currently generating electricity, how could you really look at the energy policy of the UK and understand what it means? It's really important to understand where we are now and where we're going. And then if you start looking at countries in Europe, you know, every country has a different approach because how we produce energy is dependent on our geography, our economics, our political. There's so many factors at play. So we can't just copy and paste from a different country. Their solution won't necessarily work for ours. So it's really important to have that kind of knowledge about this and then consider whether our policy is sensible or not.
Okay. And as far as what you do with businesses go, that they have to fund that themselves. That's not something that you have
that's
funding
right.
for. Yeah, indeed. Okay. So if we're listening, we're thinking, oh, this sounds like something that I think my employees should be learning about, or I think that the kids at the school that I work at would be interested in this. What's our next step?
Yeah, of course. So if you're a school teacher or a parent or just somebody who wants to see Megawatt in a school near you in Hertfordshire, then all you need to do is share this opportunity with a teacher. And what they need to do is to go on our website. So it's megawatt.game. Nice and easy. And there's a short application form where they fill out information from their school. And that starts them on the process where we will work with local sponsors and businesses to fund it to get into their school. So yeah, just visit megawatt.game. And for teachers, there's a form to fill out. And if you're a business, just drop us an email and we'll be in touch.
Indeed. And Miguel, I just wondered, looking forward into the future, do you have any ambitions for new ventures or further things that you'd like to do in this field?
Well, so Megawatt is our kind of first big game about this space, but the company actually is called Curious Games. So it kind of implies that there might be future opportunities in games. We know that there's a lot of learning to be done in sustainable transport, in sustainable supply chains, sustainable heating, and I think gamification, there are a lot of opportunities in that space as well. For now, in the near future, energies are a kind of big area, and you'll notice that transport and heating are just other parts of that energy system, because we feel that that is the most important kind of thing to tackle. But yeah, we continue to develop all our resources. So we continuously update them with the latest data. We're releasing new lesson plans regularly. So we really want to build this kind of catalog of sustainable education and energy that's interesting and fun and gets people really engaged.
Fantastic. Miguel, thank you so much for telling us about that.
Thank you very much for having me.
I was talking there to Miguel Trenkel-Lopez, founder of Megawatt. And I'll ensure that a link to Megawatt is included in the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. And whilst you're there, do take a look out for the Environment Matters podcast, where I spoke to Kirsty Shanahan about community energy opportunities, particularly around St. Albans District. And coincidentally, on the 17th of July between 1 and 5, Gascoigne Estates, who manage Hatfield Park, are going to host their 9th infrastructure charrette, focusing on the implications of renewable energy projects on food security, biodiversity and the community. And in case you're wondering what a charrette is, it's a public meeting or workshop devoted to a concerted effort to solve a problem or plan the design of something. Now, Gascoigne Estates have run charrettes before, one of which I attended, and it was really very good. The idea is that there'll be a chance to look at the evidence, learning from experts in a clear and balanced way, and then discuss ways forward. Now, the question, they say, is that we need to expand renewable capacity. The question is, how do we do it really well? Now, the experts are going to include farmers, a food security expert, a campaigner, and a landscape consultant. Now, if you'd like to attend, you'll need to RSVP to charrette@gascoigne.org to secure your place. And again, I'll pop that address into the notes that accompany the podcast of this show. It is always lovely to hear from you via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look out for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6, on X and on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.